Good morning, Southeast Alaska. You're listening to Morning Edition on KRBD Ketchikan. And as many or all of you probably know, the Iditarod dog sled race began yesterday. And this morning, we're joined by Deb and Hunter Davis, Ketchikan's own, who will be heading to Nome very shortly to help volunteer. Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
So when exactly are you heading to Nome?
We're taking off on Saturday, which is easily a week after the race has started from yesterday. But that's because there's nothing happening in Nome until next weekend.
Well, what exactly will you be doing when you're there?
This will be our sixth year. And what we do is whatever needs to be done. There are things that need to be done, like answering the phones, like setting up the dog lot, like setting up the finishing chute, all of that kind of stuff. Similar to Anchorage, they bring in snow at the end to make the chute for the finish line, and they bring in the arch. So and then all these barriers need to be made, and he put up, and the dog lot needs to be set up so that we've got a place for all the dogs. And the mini, which is their little convention center, has to be set up and all of that kind of stuff. So that's what we do. We do whatever needs to be done, along with, of course, a lot of other volunteers that do the same thing.
Right. Now, essentially, though, this is just an excuse to go hang out with some dogs for a while. Right?
Oh, yes. We're going to the dogs.
So how long have you been doing this for? Is this the first time? I think you went last year, too, right?
No, this is my sixth year, Hunter's fifth.
My fifth.
So how did you get involved? I mean, what was the impetus to really go and do this?
We have a longtime Ketchikan educator by the name of Sarah Justeed Black, and she is she's been a huge Iditarod sponsor for many, many, many years. Close friends with Ray Reddington and his family, and she and I had been talking about it. Finally, she just said, "You know, I think you just should go with me." And so I went with her for the first year. And really didn't know very much about the details of the race, except that it was this kind of amazing thing with dogs, and got completely hooked. Met a few mushers, had a spectacular experience, and then Hunter started joining me after that because it was really a great experience.
The part of her first year up there that I always enjoy listening to is her stories of having they stayed in the hotel over the Polaris bar, and that's a pretty interesting story in and of itself, but we'll save that for another time.
I've heard stories of the Polaris. Now, what kind of a scene is it like in Nome? I mean, for those of us who haven't had the pleasure of spending time there during the Iditarod, what's it like there?
It's the start in Anchorage, everything is very set. The times are very, very straightforward. And out at Willow for the restart, it's every 2 minutes. There's a beep and another team takes off. And Nome, nope, it's all a waiting game. So it could be, preferably, you really want the winner to come in daylight because that maximizes its exposure and everybody comes out to see it. But if that first musher comes in at 1 o'clock in the morning, that siren's going to go off at the dredge, and 1 o'clock in the morning, you're liable to see the streets of Nome absolutely packed with over half the population up there. The rest of the time, they come in ones and twos, 15 minutes apart, 3 hours apart, and everyone just waits. The first 30 finishers get the siren, and that's the down on the firehouse, and it goes off. There's quite a few people that complain about it up there, but then again, it's only for a few days a year.
Right, and it's the event of the season, I'd imagine.
Pretty much so. Another thing, also in Nome, you've got the state, 3A basketball tournament is going on. That'll be starting on Thursday of this week, I guess, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So you've got teams from all over the Teller Peninsula will show up in there. So you've got a lot of youngsters wandering around when they're not up at the rec center. You've got all of the, we refer to them as the beautiful people that show up to be at the finish line. They're not there to volunteer. They're there to be at the finish line and, take pictures with each other, standing under the burled arch, and then they fly away. So that brings a little bit of color.
I bet. But you guys are the rough and ready ones who are actually doing the work, getting things ready to go, right?
Yeah, that's fun.
Now, what's it like when mushers come over the finish line? Are they just exhausted, and are their dogs completely out, or what are they usually like?
I would hope you don't see dog team completely knackered coming across that
line. Well, of course, one of the reasons why they're not they're tired because it has been a long time. But they just spent 8 hours in White Mountain, which is the second to the last checkpoint. And that's their mandatory stop. They've got to do 8 hours there. And so they've had – I don't think they've had 8 hours of sleep, obviously. They're right. They're required to take care of their dogs. But they've had a little sleep. They've had a chance to kind of get their stuff in gear and everything, get rid of stuff they don't need and that kind of stuff. So they are not near as tired as you might expect because they have had a little bit of rest right there at the end. And they're usually a little shell-shocked because they've been on the trail with essentially nothing but their dogs and a few other mushers and these little checkpoints, and then they come in and there's this crowd of people and everybody wants to talk to them and all they really want is a hot dog and a beer or a coffee or something that they haven't had in the last 10 days and they want to get their dog settled. And so they look a little shell-shocked. That's what they look like.
I can imagine. Now we have a local musher this year, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, Dinaran. And who is that? Tell us a little bit about her.
Angie Taggart. They grew up here, went to school southeast, and has been a teacher down here and is now a part-time teacher up in Anchorage Bowl, somewhere up there. Mm-hmm. And she got started through Sarah Justine also. And then she worked with D.D. John Rowe for a couple seasons as a dog handler and started mushing herself and decided she wanted to do this. Went through some qualifying races. You have to do a certain number of 300 and then a 500 and the like to show that you can do a distance run, sort of screening filters for the Iditarod. And when she ran her first race in 2011, she was 43rd out of 63 starters. Just about right exactly where she her pre-race plan put her. So she planned her race and raced her plan, and it seemed to work for her. And now, she said, oh, it's just going to be the one time. Yeah, well.
It sounds addicting, though, so she's back again.
It is that. And this year she's got a whole different focus for her reason for running, and I'll let Deb describe that.
Yeah, Edgy this year, she had planned to run anyway, but shortly as she was getting started with her plans, her mother was diagnosed with triple negative breast cancer and had surgery. She had chemotherapy and she had radiation therapy, literally just finishing just a couple weeks ago. Oh. And so she's running in honor of that. She has names of survivors and names of those that have been lost on the dog blankets that her dogs will wear it ever gets cold enough to wear dog blankets. And any monies that were raised that are not used for the run itself will go to her mother's choice for charity. And so that's her focus this year is to honor her mother and all of those who have faced cancer and who have won or lost it.
Mm. A far better reward than winning the race, then I'd say.
Oh, yes.
So what is her prediction this year coming in?
I think she sees herself. She wants to obviously improve her finish position, but I think she still sees herself in that probably third quarter, somewhere in there.
Like 40 to 50.
Somewhere in there. They had 64 teams actually go off the
63.
Line. 63 this year.
Okay. So we're hoping for 40 to 50, but anything obviously is better.
Right.
Well, that's fantastic. When do you guys come back?
We'll sit there and one thing we've learned, don't fly the day of the finishing banquet because Alaska Airlines actually essentially says we're going to give you an aircraft and schedule one flight out. So that's, you don't wrestle that. Even the day after, you probably don't want to do it. So we've learned you add a couple of days after the finishing banquet to avoid the rush. That way we're there to help pack stuff up and the like. And it hasn't happened in the few years we've been going. If the Red Lantern has not come in yet, there's actually a Red Lantern banquet, and they like to have a few people around to attend that.
So that, it's not just them when they get back.
Yeah, it's not bologna sandwiches and chips at the finish line.
You know, I realize we're talking about Angie Taggart. We neglected to mention that you guys will be our special correspondents in Nome for when she comes over the finish line, correct?
Oh, yes. That's the current plan.
So hopefully at some point, KRBD listeners will be treated to a special report. We're not sure exactly when that will be happening.
Could be, you know, 1:16 in the morning, and I would hope everybody is up and waiting.
They should be.
Yeah, as tensely as we will be. But there's one of the things that I learned very early going up there is it's 1 o'clock in the morning. The temperature is about, say, 5 below, and everybody's standing around muttering and talking and little patches of laughter and this sort of thing. And the chute is brilliantly lit in the middle of the dark street. And at the far end of Front Street up there, there's a police car. And the siren has gone, and everybody's waiting that's out there. The bars, nobody's come out of the bars yet because, well, the musher's not here yet. But you're standing around. The lights, the reds and blues come on the police car, and then right beside it you see this little speck of light bounce up onto the Front Street. And it starts coming down the road, and as the musher and the dogs get in front of the police car, you now got the headlights behind them, and it's just this mass of legs trotting down the middle of Front Street. Now everyone's starting to come out of the bars, and they're cheering them as they come by, and that headlight's bobbing, and every Alaskan should be at the finish line at least once.
It's a sight to behold.
It is something to see when they come in there heads high. And what was it? Last year, 2 years ago, there was a very interesting finish in the dark. One team hooked a hard left and went up on the sidewalk and got passed in the last 100 meters.
Oh, yeah, it's quite a spectacular finish. It's not just people coming to see dogs coming across the finish line. It was competitive at the end, huh?
Oh, it can be.
Well, a couple of years ago, it was Allie Zirkle and Dee Dee Jonro, and you don't know exactly where they are unless somebody's. So you're sitting there, and it was dark, and you're sitting there, and the team for Allie Zirkle was there, and the team for Dee Dee Jonro was there, and it's like, well, Dee Dee's in front. Well, Allie's in front. Well, Dee Dee's in front. Nobody knew until you start seeing they're coming down the thing, and you can't quite tell, and all of a sudden we realized it was Allie. It was amazing.
Well, I hope to have this kind of coverage when you guys are there and calling in. Oh, yeah. That's what we want. Actually, along with Angie coming across the finish line, you guys will call in and give periodic reports on what you're experiencing up there and what things you've seen, even if it's just a story about a cool dog you've met and what the dog likes to eat or drink or what have
you. Well, all the golfers out there need to realize that if you want a rare trophy or souvenir T-shirt, you need to get up there and play in the Elliott Staples Ice Golf, Bering Sea Ice Golf Classic.
Really?
You actually have a 6-hole golf course laid out on the Bering Sea ice with indoor-outdoor carpeting and coffee cans for the cups, and you just whack golf balls around on the ice.
This is something to do while people are waiting for the teams to come.
Exactly. Well, and if you think about it, Nome is kind of isolated. This is a huge portion of their economy, is just the number of people that come in to support this race. So there's everything from fundraisers to potlucks to golf games to it's a very busy place. Nome's a pretty funky little place out there on the edge of the ocean.
I can imagine.
Edge of the continent.
Well, thanks so much for joining us this morning, guys. We're just about out of time. Was there one more point that you wanted to make? I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say there's a lot of events going on that weekend. The Forest Service has stuff, and the Park Service has stuff going on, and there's a race for people like us that are not dog sledders routinely. We get to do a little 3-mile race with 3 dogs. It's a fundraiser for the Nome Kennel Club, and it's just a great, fun thing to do.
I would be part of that. That sounds awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, that's fantastic. Well, thanks so much, guys. And again, Hunter and Deb Davis will be providing us with special coverage from Nome, including when Angie Taggart crosses the finish line, whether it be 1 in the morning or 1 p.m., and it'll be live, and then we'll rebroadcast that, hopefully, during a morning edition. Thanks so much for joining us, guys.
Thanks for having us.
That was Deb and Hunter Davis, who will be heading to Nome later this week to help out with the Iditarod dog sled race. The time now is 8:42 a.m. You're listening to Morning Edition on KRBD Ketchikan. See that